How many of you have ever had a tough week? Well, that's just about most of you. If you went through some kind of hardship, some kind of trouble, a struggle, maybe it was emotional, maybe it was financial, maybe it was, you know, there's things in life that are real things, and there's things in life that are perceived real things. They still feel the same. I thought, I knew she said that. I'm sure she said that about me. You know, there's that kind of thing. And it really messes with us, and it's difficult. So you have had, anyone in the last month had a difficult day? Just a tough day? Just, yeah, struggle? Well, that's good. What's our reaction to that normally? Just go ahead. I mean, you can talk. It won't be on the radio much. What's our normal reaction to, let's just pick something simple, like a difficult day. You know, man, just things are going not good this day. How do we react to that? What's that?
Grumpy,
yeah. I know him. What else? Frustrated? What's that? Escape, negativism, rejoice. Who said that? Knock it off. You can wait in the car. We'll let you know when we're done. What? So we have the outward responses, you know, or inward, you know, kind of the immediate responses. What's our thoughts on that? If we knew a hard time was coming Monday, how excited would we be about Monday? Like, I don't have the words, I don't really, because I'm not that good, to be able to craft what I want to say because I can't think of how to say it. But our feelings towards these days, even before they happen, like, we generally want to avoid them, don't we? Is what I'm trying to say, right? Would we have a consensus that would be the most of us in here, is we would like to avoid that scenario of hardship, trials, struggle as often as we can, because we don't like to do that. How many of you have ever watched Christian TV? Like some preacher, Jesse Duplantis, or I don't know who all the guys are. My folks just got cable for the first time in their lives. You're like, what, 90 now? Like, first time, you got an air conditioner like about 8 years ago. Like, oh, you guys. Yeah, well, you live simple when your children sleep upstairs, and it's 4,000 degrees. I'm like, Mom, you can't keep the food up here. It'll all cook. All right. It does. So then they got an air conditioner. I'm like, man, they are just rolling. Now they got cable. I'm like, whoa, I don't even know what. Oh, no, you got internet after that. Yeah, I got internet. Mom's still not sure about that. Then they got, oh wow. That's, you're looking at 1999 leaving right there. Now they've got high speed internet and high speed and digital cable. And there I sit. They're better off than I am in that department. So, I had a point to all that. I don't have any idea what I was going to say. Oh, we were talking about the preachers, yeah. So, you guys kind of know, yeah, see why I can never get done on time. And so, have you ever heard a preacher, or maybe it's been someone here, or maybe you've had a kind of a prophecy over your life, you know, maybe someone's pulled you aside, and I just feel like, you know, sometimes we don't say a thus saith the Lord, sometimes we do, but God, you know, God has spoken through someone over your life that, man, and here's the message, okay? You've heard some sort of variation of this, like, it's time for favor in your life, you know, it's time for, God's aligning you for something good, you know, kind of that kind of thing. Have you ever heard that before? Like, now's the time, you know, God's bringing good things, bringing, you know, prosperity, bringing whatever it is. Whatever good thing, increase, you know, whatever, yada, yada. You know, the TV guys say that a lot. You know, we've had personal words. We've had words over the church about that. And I believe in that. And I think that's really cool. And through the years, I've often wondered, because I believe God, and I believe God's word, and I believe there's some incredible things that have happened through prophetic words and just God speaking through lives, that just one word, all of a sudden, just, man, there's story after story where people have struggled with something for so long, and then people, someone will just some, you know, housewife, some normal person who's, I say that with tongue in cheek, normal, just, we're all supposed to be that. We'll just pull someone aside and just say, I just feel like God, and they'll speak some word, and just all of a sudden there's freedom. Their life is completely different from then on. So I believe in all that, and I believe in this, in these words of alignment and prosperity and increase and whatever. And so what I'm going to say to you is you've heard, if you've been here, you've heard me say this before. So some of this is not going to be new for you, but it will just be revisited and hopefully get deeper down in our spirits. And so I've always wondered, why don't we always see that? And it's, you know, sometimes with spiritual stuff, it's, we don't always know. God's ways are higher than our ways. That's what we say when we can't figure it out. So I was wondering, why don't we see that every time? Because I believe God and I believe His word, and there will be times where stuff resonates with my spirit. I'm like, okay, why don't we always see that? So there'll be a promise given, you know, some kind of a promise, some kind of a something of the nature of God, His goodness, something to increase, you know, alignment, whatever. A good thing over our lives, or you read it in the scripture, or you get, however it comes to you, you grab a hold of that, and then we don't always see that. And so what we've been learning is this. First comes the promise, and there's 7,000 in scripture, so there's plenty of promises. First comes the promise over your life. In order to get to the fruit of that promise, in the middle is something that we all don't want to know about, or we forget about, or we're uncomfortable with, and we call that process. Everybody say process. Process. Starts with the promise. God speaks. So, yes or no, do you believe God has good things in store for your life? Okay, we're on the same page. God does. He is good. He's better than you think He is. God has good things in store for you. He wants, yes or no, does God want your life to progress? Does He want you to grow and increase? Yes or no? Yes. Good. Two for two. Okay? So He speaks things that aren't even in existence in your life yet, or an increase of things that are in your life. And the picture of that is over here. Okay? Whether it's increased influence or authority or financial blessing or, you know, peace, whatever that is, He speaks that out, and the picture of it looks like this. But I'm not there yet. I'm over here. I'm looking like this. So I'm progressing towards that. And there's a lot of us, myself included, that really want God to be the, when He says something, it should just happen, right? Like, I don't like the process part of it, right? You know, but if you look throughout the whole scripture, there was process everywhere. You know, God's going to bring them out of Egypt. All right, we're out of Egypt. Oh man, now there's an army chasing us. God must have not seen that coming. You know, it's over and over and over and over again. God will say something massive and wonderful and powerful and really cool, and then it doesn't happen. Well, it kind of happens, but it doesn't really look like that's what's happening, and pretty soon they get to the end, and that's what happened. So in the middle, we're talking about this middle part today called the process. In the process, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to hopefully, like I said, this is not going to be new, but hopefully, maybe if I say it enough, I'll start to believe it kind of thing. I'm going to share something that I think is entirely scriptural and for sure God has put into our hearts and stirred in us as something that we need to get in this body of believers. And I think if we can get this, I think a whole realm of increase and answered prayers and fruitfulness is waiting on the other end of this. Because God's spoken over you. I know that there are probably all of you that have this knowing or a specific word in your gut, that in your spirit you know that just what we sung out today, you're meant for more than this. Like, there's more. Like, this isn't it. This isn't the best it gets. There's more. And sometimes we don't always know how to get there. Like, I'm growing, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying, and we need to do that. And I think if we just did that, sometimes life would be better. So we need to do that, but there's also something else in this process. And now watch this. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. I know this is probably all up on your refrigerators as one of your favorite verses, maybe, or maybe not. Verse number 3 of chapter 5, not only so, but we also glory or rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. Is that one of your like go-to verses? Do you have that up like tacked on your fridge? You know, we have things like, you know, he's my strength and I can do all things, and you know, all those cool things. This verse right here, I believe this is the keynote verse for process. God gives a promise. Then this verse happens. And then there's fruit. Maybe it doesn't always happen that way, but I think if we pull down our guard and our defensive, saying, I'm not going to buy into that, and just really look at things, I think that's how we see that it will happen. Here's the deal. God has these promises, and he has all these amazing things for our life, and we keep rejecting them because they don't come in a package that we like to see. Right? Bugs Bunny. I remember this cartoon. They were on a game show, and Daffy Duck was on there, and he won, $1 million. And so they brought out this great big container, and it was $1 million bucks. Inside this great big container was $1 million. True story. I was at your house, and you did not have cable, so I watched Daffy Duck. So he was dejected, forlorn, said all this despicable, you know, just whatever he said, all those kind of things, and he stomped off, and Bugs said whatever he said, and so he took possession of the $1 million. Inside of each box was a dollar bill. Jesus, I did not know you would ever use the Daffy Duck illustration for church. That's so cool. That may be my new favorite illustration of all time, because I've thought of that for years. The $1 million. God's got a promise of $1 million over you. Some of you, it's more answered prayers. Some of you, it's more authority. Some of you, it's more prosperity. Whatever it is, God's spoken over your life, and we reject that promise because it looks like $1 million. It doesn't look like I thought $1 million would look like. And so God speaks over you. God has been speaking over Marnie and I personally in our lives just about increase and, you know, just really cool big stuff. And so I realized after that, we start walking through difficult things. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. One of the versions that I read said afflictions. Do you want to know what the Greek word, the definition for sufferings or afflictions is? Pressure. Turn to your neighbor and say, pressure. 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 How many of you have ever felt life's pressure? Pressure of demands at work, the pressure of relationships that are falling apart, the pressure of expectancies that are not being met, pressure of disappointments in my own life, the pressure of my children being my children, you know? There's this there's this squeezing in on our lives that God did not get surprised about. In fact, he spoke about it. He said there's going to be this pressure. There's going to be this uneasiness and an uncomfortableness. In America, we have a high value for comfort, don't we? Oh, my Lord. Have you ever heard of a Snuggie? We need to be so comfortable that our blanket has arms so that we are not inhibited by things that we need to do. Our comfort level is insane in this country. We spend all kinds of dollars on things that are ridiculous that we don't need. But I like too. We have a high value for comfort. God has a high value for destiny. We have a high value for comfort and ease. God has a high value for destiny. If discomfort is the path to destiny, that does not shake God at all. He's not bothered that you're miserable. But God wants me to be happy. He wants to be prosperous and blessed. He does. He does not want you to be destroyed. And that's what we're learning, is if God gave us the good things that he had promised to us, that he wants to give us, if he gave them to us right now, we would destroy ourselves. If I got the increase of influence and authority that I know God is bringing me into, I would destroy part of his kingdom in the process and probably my own life. I would wreck the things of God because I don't have the character to handle it yet. Does that make sense? That's the part that we've said this before, but I think it's so true. Yep, there's an increased level. There's a place where God wants us to live where we see prayers answered like that. God says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Why don't we always see that happen? Because our hearts haven't gone through process and been in alignment. So did he lie? No, but there's process to get there. And we want God just to be, just do it magical. And there are so many stories of God just doing something like that instantly. I'm not denying that. And that happens often. So I want it to happen all the time. But a lot of that, God doesn't do that. If God wants you to have patience, guess what he's going to do? He's not going to just go, wah. He's going to bring you through situations to extract the patience from within the Spirit of God inside of you and bring it through your skin. Because that's all in you. God lives in you. He dwells in you. Hope is in you. Joy is in you. Life is in you. Peace is in you. Destiny is in you. We got to process it out, though. It's all in there. It's got to be processed through. So he says, we rejoice in our sufferings, our afflictions. We rejoice in these pressure things that we're uncomfortable and that are hard to walk through. Because it produces perseverance. And your question to me is, I've been through a lot of things and I don't have much perseverance. I know a lot of people that have been through a lot of junk and they're just bitter and ugly. I don't know if that's true. And I thought the same thing until you read it again. Watch this. We also rejoice, or we glory in our sufferings because. We rejoice in our sufferings because. We rejoice, or because we rejoice in our sufferings, perseverance is produced. Didn't say go through sufferings, said rejoice in the sufferings. The attitude we have when we go through the stuff we go through determines the outcome and the destiny in our lives. Amen? So often we go through these things, and some fun loving Christian's going to come up alongside you that you want to punch in the nose. And, oh, Jesus has got a plan in all this. Rejoice. Come here. I'll show you. Let's go behind the barn. I'll show you how I rejoice. But it's true. It's true. And we think, well, I got to have a good attitude because that's what Jesus wants me to have. And that's true. But if we can get beyond the have to, woulda, coulda, shouldas, and realize that there's reasons to this thing. That God is better than we think he is. And he might even let me suffer some discomfort to bring me to my destiny. Amen? I don't like to read that, and I don't like to hear that, but I do like the increase part. So I'm weighing it out right now, going, And how many of you have whined and complained going through your struggles and trials? Gets a lot accomplished, doesn't it? You just, what happens? You just go through again. God's like, I love you so much. Come and start at the beginning. But God, what? You are so precious. Come here, do it again. Because he does not want to give us increase. Because I just bought my son a slingshot. It's not the slingshot, it's the wrist rocket kind of slingshot. I mean, got the arm deal and everything. We're so-so on that. He's doing pretty good. I'm not quite ready to give him my shotgun yet. You laugh because that's common sense. And spiritually, we go, but I have every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. It should all be mine right now. You laugh because we know that for our children, but we don't know it for us. God's not going to give us the shotgun until we can handle the slingshot. Does that make sense? And training is difficult. We know that suffering, we know that rejoicing in our sufferings, not just the suffering, rejoicing in our sufferings, aligning ourselves with the attitude of heaven while we're walking through this stuff is the pathway to destiny. See, this atmosphere of suffering, of affliction, that pressure, being uncomfortable, more than we can handle, stretching us, maybe that's a good word, stretching us. Suffering produces. We have farmers in here. You know the conditions that are necessary to produce. I think people were saying that this is a good year for apples. Is that true? Man, they're really producing this year. Well, guess what? The environment to produce those apples, however many cold days there were and how much rain there was and how much sunshine there was, those are the elements that need to be the ingredients to produce. The pressure, the stretching, the uncomfortableness, the sufferings, the trials, the persecutions, that's the environment necessary to produce. That make sense? That's the ingredients that you need to produce in your life. That's terrible. I would have loved to have been on the writing committee of this scripture. I've been like, nah, let's keep that one out of there. It produces perseverance. I was having a conversation with someone the other day talking about youth ministry, and they were looking for some answers. And I said, the further along we go, the less answers I have. And I just really don't know. So one thing that I can tell you, sometimes success in youth ministry is just showing up. Sometimes success in your job, in your family, it's just showing up. I'll do this another day. Yep, I'll come back for one more time. I will do it. Okay, sometimes, not saying always, but sometimes success is just showing up. That's what it's talking about here, perseverance. All right, I'm going through. We're going through this. I'm going to stop praying, God, get me out of this. I'm going through this. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to do that. And that produces, the next word is character. I looked up this word, and it's got the squirreliest definition. It's not even a word. I love how the Bible dictionaries can say words that aren't words. Like, they make up words. And I don't know if you've ever looked at any Greek stuff. Like, they make up words that aren't even words. The word for this, the definition for character, is trustiness. I know. Okay. I had to set my alarm again. Okay. I know I got to bring her home here fastly. Otherwise, I get lost in my story, and this could go on for hours. Trustiness. Experience is also included in there. Experiment is included in there. And trial is included in there. But trustiness. When I persevere, because that's what it's developing in me. When I align my attitude with the attitude of heaven, and I persevere, all right, I'm going through this. All of a sudden, what's developed in me is trustiness. And another word for that is experiment. What would it look like if you just said, threw up your hands one day and you're just like, fine, God. All right. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm going to go through this and let's just see what happens. That's kind of that the essence of that experiment. I don't have the answers for this. I can't do this. I don't have the skills necessary. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. But I'm in the middle of it, and I can't get out of it, so I might as well go through it. Let's just see what you can do. Do you see what that is? That attitude of, ooh, all right, God, I'm putting you to the test. Not in an irreverent way, but I'm calling you out. You said to go through it. I'm pulling you into the middle of this then. It's that, and what when you do that, all of a sudden you begin to develop trustiness. Like my response is trusting God. My response is, all right, a new challenge, an experiment. This could be good. Instead of the whine and pity and pout and let's go back to the beginning. Right? Because God is passionate about your destiny. And he'll bring you through the same junk 50 million times if it needs to be, because he is passionate about your destiny. He wants to see you be all you can be, as it were. Once the next word in there from trustiness, from character, where is it at? We do, which uses endurance, character, and character produces hope. You know what hope is? The eager expectation of something good. The earnest, the expectation of something good. I'm looking for something good to happen. So here's the process. Start out with God's promise, God speaking destiny over our life, and then all of a sudden the pressure comes and we start getting squeezed and stretched and it's uncomfortable and I don't like this and this is terrible and I don't really want to be here right now and I wish I didn't have to do this and welcome to... And we go, all right, I'm going to go through. I'm going to show up tomorrow and I'm going to show up the next day and I'm going to show up the next day and I'm going to show up the next day. And as long as I'm showing up, God, character starts developing in you. Now I'm building a framework for God to bless. I'm building a platform for God's blessing to rest upon. Just imagine yourself. You guys ever done Tinker Toys or anything like that? Legos or anything? Imagine that you start out with this cool little platform of Legos. What if God started dropping bowling balls on that? Yeah. We need to start learning how to weld. And God's building bigger frames and stronger frameworks in us. That's the character in us. Okay, so as you're walking through these trials, as you're walking through these tough times, then you're like, yep, I'm learning to trust God. I'm learning that God will show up. And you start even taking it a step further and going from experience and experiment, going, okay, how about if I show up like this? All right, what are you going to do now, God? And you start really putting it back on God. And then the last thing that it develops is hope, an eager expectation of good. If you show up every day like that in the middle of your trial, all of a sudden in your heart starts stirring hope. And you start going, I'm expecting something good to come out of this. Something good. God is going to show up. This is going to be, and you start telling you, wait till you see what happens when I'm on the back end of this trial, because God has got, you guys okay? Okay. God's got something really good. I'm starting to feel like I'm in youth ministry right now. God's got something, and you start expecting the hand of the Lord to show up because you've been in the process and you know that God's leading you through it. Amen? You guys know the story of Joseph? We'll just end with this quick story. Genesis 37, 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, so you guys got the, I don't have to explain the framework, right? You all know Joseph. You all been to Sunday school and stuff. Okay. Had the coat of many colors. His dad loved him more than the others. Okay. Verse number 5 of 37 says, they had a dream. He told it to his brothers. They hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain, and you know, my sheave rose and stood upright. All your sheaves bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream. I had another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. Verse 10 says, when he told his father as well as his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him. His father kept the matter in mind. So here's Joseph. You know, they're out herding sheep or whatever, and he's the favorite son, and he's hated, and he's got a tough time at home, whatever, but he's got this cool coat. And so he has this dream, and he tells the family, hey, guys, guess what? I had a dream. And they just hate him. They're like, we already hate you. No, we really hate you. We're going to kill you. Yeah, family squabbles were intense back then. We're going to kill you. And I think it was Reuben said, don't kill him. Just throw him in this well. And so they threw him in the well, and they sold him to gypsies or whatever it was, and then he ended up in Egypt. And so now he's in Egypt, okay? So he's just a boy in his dad's house. He has a dream. All of a sudden, he's whisked away to Egypt in probably not a pleasant set of circumstances. So he ends up in Egypt. So now we're in chapter 40, and they start talking about, you know, it's what was the cupbearer and the cook, right? Testing your knowledge because I didn't write them down. We both had dreams, they answered, but there is no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said, I love this line. Then Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. I love that. That's the coolest and most confusing line in that whole little section. Hey, don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream. And so he goes on to start listening to their dreams and telling them the meaning. Where in this story does it say where Joseph learned how to interpret dreams? If you look back at his family, their response to his dream, immediately they gave the interpretation of that dream. Everyone else standing around when these guys dreamed, we don't know how to interpret dreams. Joseph tells his family, his brothers and his father immediately interpret the dream. Joseph had an inheritance as a dream interpreter. Joseph had an inheritance and a destiny as a dreamer and a dream interpreter. There was a process that he needed to go through to cause that to happen. And you guys know the story. He was in prison, and then they forgot about him, and he stayed in prison some more. And finally he got out, and God showed favor. And right, he knew, somehow he knew, found out that he had this connection with God. And just in a kingdom filled with sorcery and evil kings, he somehow figured out that God was stronger than all the rest of that and could show up. But there was process that needed to be involved. And so at the very end of this, we'll finish with this. At the very end of all that, he had a choice. His brothers come back. You know the story. His brothers show back up. Now, how many of you have complained that you're the only Christian at work? We live in a Christian nation. He was in Egypt, and they worshiped Pharaoh and other gods, and they used magic. It's not the most Christ-friendly work environment, okay? And yet, in the midst of that, because of favor with God, he was elevated and actually put in charge of the whole land except for Pharaoh's throne. Everything. And so he had a choice. He said, I can recognize that God was in this and in this process to prepare me for this, or I can be really bitter and angry that I had to go through this. Could have went either way, and you guys know how it turned out. He said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt, and now do not be distressed and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. See, he had destiny in mind. He understood that the process is about destiny. For 2 years there's been a famine in the land. The next 5 years there'll be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. It was not you, but it was God. He started recognizing the hand of God in the junk that he was going through. And I think when we as Christ followers and as a church start to begin to recognize the hand of God in the middle of our pressure and our stretching and whatever that looks like, instead of the grumpies coming out, we can go, all right, this really feels bad. But I'm sensing, God, that you spoke over my life, and there's more. I'm meant for more than this. I'm meant to live over here and then through the next process and over here. And we can start recognizing God's hand in the middle of all these. And that's what we've been doing around here. That's what's been happening. And God's been increasing us. And God's been, as we've been submitting to that process, saying, all right, I don't know how we're going to get through this. And this is horrible and ugly and stretching. What'd you say the other day, Trisha? You said it to Marnie. Something, you said God's giving us bigger plates and something like that. And it just was really prophetic. It just was, and it really is true. We get in this thing and we're like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. But if you submit to that process and you go through it and you align your attitude with heaven's and you start developing trustiness and experimenting with God, hope rises up and you're like, something good's coming. Something good is coming. Something good is coming to my life. And I'm expecting God to show up in a way, because I've never been here before. How cool is that? I've never been here before. I'm going through this, but I've never been here before. I've never been on the other side, because I've had to go through this 17 times because I didn't get it right, you know? And God loves me too much to let me finish without the process working. So I've never been here. So I'm like, on the other side of this, I'm amazed. I'm just imagining what life is going to look like with that kind of increase. And it's going to be cool. Does that make sense?